We're going to read from Matthew chapter 13 and verse number 44. Verse 44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field, the which, when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. And again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he hath found one pearl of great price, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. I trust God will bless the reading of these three verses to us. Only three verses. I'm not going to speak on them in their primary application because primarily I believe they speak about the Lord Jesus, that he is the man in the kingdom. And he's the man that found the treasure in the field. That's Israel. And he hid it. But he'll bring it out at another time. And he's the merchant man that sought goodly pearls and found one pearl of great price. That's the church. And he sold all that he had that he might purchase that with his own precious blood. But behind that, there's something else that you'll find often in the New Testament. And I've been looking at this for the last little while, and it caught my attention how many times things are hidden that are found. How many times the Lord Jesus speaks about finding. In fact, I wrote it down. 63 times. That should catch your attention. 81 times he speaks about seeking. 36 times about hiding. That gives us a total of 182 times seeking, finding that which is hidden. And here, that's what I want to speak to you about just for a few minutes. A man finds something that was hidden. A merchant is seeking goodly pearls. He's seeking for them. He's looking for them, and he finds it. The seeking and the finding. And then how this changed these people. So I want to speak about you and I. Do you ever wonder why everything in the scripture is not on the surface? Two different people can read a passage and someone tells you what they got out of it, and you say, wow, I read that 100 times and I never got that. It was just a little deeper, just below the surface. God takes, I'll say it carefully, pleasure in hiding just below the surface. Behold, below the ordinary, so that we need to seek for it to find it. I was trying to fix a refrigerator on a camper this week, and I kept getting frustrated because it wouldn't work. And my wife said to me, John, you're usually pretty good at that stuff. And by this time, I was so frustrated, I'd spent about 6 hours on this stupid thing. I was ready to light the whole camper on fire. To say nothing, I did it in the two hottest days of the year. I was crawling under it, in it, through it, up on the roof, you name it, I did it. And I was sitting in the house and I thought, you know, there's one wire I didn't check. And I went out after supper, and sure enough, I found it. And I pumped my hand in the air and I said, hallelujah, got it, found it.
You know what that feels like when you find something that you search for a long time? You've got it. You've accomplished it. It's there. It's yours. You'll never forget it. Never.
That's why God hides things in the Scriptures. Remember what the Lord Jesus said? It's not just hearing the Word of God. We never paid the price Tyndale paid for this precious book. We treat it so casually. That was good, John. We treat it so carelessly. But when you find something in the Scriptures, you'll take it with you to your grave. It becomes precious to you. Remember in Luke chapter 6, is it? Right at the end of the chapter? The Lord Jesus said, it's not just hearing my word. He said, it's digging deep. Those that dig deep laid the foundation on the rock. Wasn't on the surface. There got to be some digging. Because when you do the digging, you'll appreciate what you got. And it'll never leave you. In fact, it'll change your life. That's how the Scriptures changes our lives. When we find it. So let's look at just two things I got on my heart today. I'm going to call them principles. I'm not really 100% sure they are principles, but we're going to call them that, okay? Bear with me. Spiritual principles for finding. Number one, spiritual treasures, spiritual truth is always hidden. It's always hidden. In other words, it's not the ordinary. It's not lightweight. It's not surface stuff. And number two, spiritual truth will always change you when you find it. It'll never improve you. It's not a self-help book that you put up with the seven habits of successful people. It's not one of those kind of books. It will drastically change your life. And if it doesn't, you didn't find it. Because when you find it, you either will take up the cross and follow him, or you'll turn away from it. Let's look at these two men. The first man, just a common man like any one of us. That's the way I'm going to use it. He's a man that's out in the field. So he's a worker. He's just a farmer. Or he's hired by a farmer to work in his field. What other reason was he in the field for? He wasn't seeking. Did you notice? This first man is not seeking. He's just in the right place. He's in the field where somebody else had buried a treasure. Now, if you think that's far-fetched, I did a little bit of research on this. It's not far-fetched. They didn't have banks back then. So a man hid stuff in his house. If he had a treasure, that's probably where the idea came of hiding your money in your mattress. They would hide it in their house. But now, Palestine was one of the most contested areas in the world. It was often raided. So what do you do if you know the raiders are coming? You take what's in your mattress and you hide it under the ground where nobody else knows. You don't tell anybody. You just put it there. But now what happens if you don't survive the raid? It's hidden. Until somebody finds it. Because you didn't tell anybody. So here's a man out in the field. And he's working in the field. He's not looking for treasure. But he finds it. Let's call him Old Joe. Old Joe's out working in the field, and he finds this treasure. Joe's just a poor man. He doesn't have much to him. But he finds this treasure, and he quick covers it up again. Just going to cover it up there. And my, he says, I got to buy this field. He's probably working for the farmer that owns the field. So he goes to the farmer, and he says, I want to buy that field. Oh, he says, Joe, you can't afford that field. Give me your price. Give me your price. Well, he says, I need $10,000 for that field. I don't have $10,000. I'll sell my donkey. I'll sell my oxen and my ox cart. Still don't have enough. I'll sell my house. I'll sell all my property. If I have to, I'll sell the shirt off my back. And he sells all that he has. And the farmer's scratching his head, says, Joe, oh, Joe. And you know, Joe just lives in a small town, and everybody in that town is talking about crazy Joe. Joe's selling everything. He's selling his shoes. He's got two pairs of shoes. He sold his shoes. Yeah, I bought his extra jacket. And he sold everything. Everything. And he comes to the farmer and he says, here's your 10 grand. I want that field. And he buys it. The owner looks at him and he has no idea. Doesn't know. But he looks at Joe and there's a grin on Joe's face. He says, Joe, you don't have a house tonight. No, no, sir, I don't have a house. Your favorite donkey, the Cadillac one that you rode all the time. The donkey's gone. I don't have a car. I got to walk now. Joe, you're smiling. Did you catch that? He goes and with joy sells all that he has. Why? Because he found something worth far more than $10,000. That's what Tyndale found. Something worth more than his life. Something more than years in prison. He found something that was worth everything. Everything. And he was willing to sell all. You see, because when you find spiritual truth, it totally changes you. What would make poor Joe sell everything? One thing, what he found was worth more than all he sold. Far more than all he sold. Let's just take a guess. He bought that field for 10 grand. And what was in that treasure was worth $10 billion. Financially, was he a loser? No. He was a winner. But the next man, he's a little different. We read there about a merchant man. He's different. He's not a poor man. He's a merchant man. He's one of the leaders in the community. He's got money to buy pearls. And he's out searching for more pearls. He's not a pearl fisherman. He's not a diver. He just buys them off the men that risk their lives and go down and die, but he's looking for a good one. Looking for fine pearls. That's what he's looking for, and he's dealt with pearls, so he knows them. And one day he sees it. One pearl of great value. But now this is different. The farmer had no idea what was in his field. But the pearl diver knows what this pearl is worth. And he says to Mr. Merchantman, he says, sir, you know this thing is, you could never buy this from me. I know what this is worth. And you know what, he says, I want it. name your price. And so he tells him. And the merchant man, same thing, with joy, he says, I'll buy it. Sells every pearl he has. Sells all his acquired wealth. Takes everything and became poor that he might buy that one pearl. Changed his life forever. Because when you buy into spiritual truth, it's all or nothing. It will change you forever. I want to think for a minute about what we value, even as believers. Because most of us are not very deep. I'm speaking for myself. Most of us are not very deep. You value nice clothes? Let me speak to the ladies here. You like to dress up? Value nice clothes? Even some of the men. That's something you value. Value a nice car? Driving nice wheels? Put a high value on that? Some people work two jobs so they can get what they value. And they just, that's all surface stuff. We value just the ordinary things. Just the superficial. So if you're good looking and you got lots of money and you got lots of friends, then you're accepted. You're a winner. All on the surface. That's how we value stuff. But that's not how God values things. If you're going to value something from God, you got to get below all that ordinary stuff. You got to get below the surface. He hides his treasure in the field. Three places the Lord hides treasure. He hides it in ordinary people. You notice in 1 Corinthians, not many mighty, not many noble, not many wise. God chose the foolish things to confound the wise, the things that are not, to bring to naught the things that are. God didn't choose us because of what we were. And he puts his treasure in earthen vessels, just in people like you and I. That's the way God works. So he chooses ordinary people. If you're here today and you're thinking there's not much I can do, you just remember this. God uses the nobodies. He picks up the boys and girls that are saved. Just children. Remember what he did? And the disciples were shocked. He sat them on his knees. And he said, unless you become like one of these, you won't enter into the kingdom of God. He takes those that are his and he puts his treasure in the people. But then he uses what we would call, I'm going to be careful here, just an ordinary message. Not the message of the world. Not the message of religion. In fact, it contradicts all the message of religion. The message that we know as the gospel. Don't miss it. It's a very simple message. I can tell it to you in 2 minutes here. Not even 2 minutes. 30 seconds. You do nothing, He does it all. You trust him, he'll save you. Oh, you say, there's more to it than that. No, there's really not. That's it. You know that message. In fact, the world knows that message. The world knows that Christ died on a cross. But yet I sat at a funeral the other day and heard the preacher say, you still got to do the best you can. And right after telling us to do the best you can, she gave out a hymn that says, and when I think that God his son not sparing sent him to die, I scarce can take it in. I wanted to go to that lady minister and I wanted to say to her, then why did God send his son? Why are you telling us work your way to heaven? Do the best you can. You see, that's what people want to do. Give me 7 steps to heaven. Give me 9 things to do and I'll do them. Give me a pilgrimage to go on and I'll go on it. But no, God has hid this from the eyes of the wise and he says, you do nothing. I do it all. You trust me. And the most of the world says that won't work. I got to do something. Thank God for everyone here that hasn't done a thing, but has relied on the finished work of Christ. And if you're here today and you're not saved, stop trying to do something. Just trust Christ. He's done it all. But God has hid his treasure in a very ordinary man. I was reading in Isaiah 53 the other day. When we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. What's that? He emptied himself, laid aside his glory, and he came down just as an ordinary man. People missed him because they were looking for a superstar. They were looking for a king. They were looking for a mighty conqueror. But just a poor man from Nazareth. Just a carpenter's son. I have a commentary on the book of Mark. I think it's by a man named William Lane. I wrote it down here somewhere. I don't know if I can find it in my notes. But William Lane says this about Mark's gospel. How did, after all the miracles of this servant of God, after all the miracles, after all his words, after all the messages, after all he showed himself to be, how did the people miss him? How did they come to reject the man they knew? He was too ordinary. They were blinded by it, just on the surface. And they couldn't see the treasure, and they missed Christ. I'm going to give you a couple things before I sit down. I want to tell you 3 things happened to these men that changed their lives. The man that found the treasure, Joe, that found the treasure in the field, and the merchant man that sold everything for 1 pearl of great price. First of all, they had to rightly assess the value in their heads. Joe had to figure out whether $10,000 was worth $6 billion in the field. He had to do the math. In his head. Well, you say that's a no-brainer. Well, you got to use your brain sometimes. And he figured it out. The same thing with the merchant. He had to figure out if his collection of pearls and all the money he's made from selling pearls and his lovely mansion and his three Mercedes, he had to figure out if all that was worth more than this one pearl of great price. And he came to this conclusion, pencil and paper, it is. How do you read your Bible? Let me speak to the young people here. Anybody that's younger than me, and I'll tell you, I'm 73. How do you read your Bible? You ever read it with a pencil and paper? You should, you know. It's a good way to read your Bible, with a pencil and paper. And when you find something, just put it down there and say, put a value next to it. How much is that worth? Do the math. Is that worth obeying? Is that worth reading? Is that worth listening to? Settle it in your head. Because if you just close the book and won't do the math, it won't do you any good. You can read and read and read the scriptures, and you'll never find the treasure. But if you see something there, figure it out. Is this worth it? Secondly, not only think about it, look at it for how it's going to affect you. How will this affect my heart? Because not just the head you're working with the scriptures. It's not just the head that deals with treasure. It's the heart. The Lord Jesus said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be. So we got to deal with the heart. These men did the math and figured out, yeah, that's worth something. That's worth something. You can see old Joe as he comes back to his shack. And he said, man, that's worth something. Would I be willing to sacrifice this shack? My favorite donkey? My oxen and their carts? My second pair of shoes? Would I be? And his heart says, Joe, go for it. Go for it, Joe. It's worth everything. And there's been a change in Joe's heart. Where did that change come from? When he found the treasure in the field. Why are you reading the scriptures? Why did our brother John take up that Tyndale gave his life to give us the scriptures? So that we would appreciate them, so that we would live by them, so that we'd let them direct our hearts. Let it touch your heart. Is this book worth obeying? Let it reach your heart. And old Joe comes up with this. I'll sell everything I got to get that treasure. It's worth it. And it changed his heart. And it changed his life. Joe would never be the same again. It's all or nothing for Joe. So he sells everything he's got just to get that treasure. You see, that's what the Lord Jesus meant when he said, take up the cross and follow me. Do you know for those 11 men that took up the cross and followed Christ? Every one of them died on a cross. And the Lord Jesus knew it when he said, take up the cross and follow me. That it would change their life forever. There was a different value to things. I used to read a lot of C.S. Lewis. I like C.S. Lewis. He's a great writer. I think it's in his book, The Great Divorce. He tells about a dream of this man that got a tour of heaven. And his guide was taking him up to heaven and showing him all around heaven. I think that's the way the story goes. I haven't looked at it recently, but I remember the story. And as he's looking around heaven, he sees this parade coming. It's just a dream. He sees this parade coming. And all these young people dancing ahead of, looks like the queen coming through heaven. Oh, he says, that's Mary. No. The guy said, no. You don't know her. Who is it then? He says, she's a nobody. I think her name was Sarah something. That's Sarah Smith. Yeah, that's what he said, Sarah Smith. Well, he says, she must have been real famous. No, he said, she wasn't. He said, well, what did she do? And who are all those people dancing around her? And oh, he says, those are all her children. Her children? Yeah. Whoa, she had a big family. No, he said she was never married. Those are other people's children that she won for Christ. And he turns to the man and he says, fame on earth is different from fame in heaven. That's the line I want you to remember. What made people famous on earth doesn't make them famous in heaven. He says, see that, Sarah Smith? She comes from a little backwater town. But everybody she came in contact with, she fed them with the fruit of the Spirit. Every single one. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. And she said she saw all those children saved. She had nothing on earth. She has everything in heaven. What are you getting from the scriptures? It cost her everything on earth, but it gave her everything in heaven. But not only do they feel the value of it in their hearts, they're willing to live it in their lives. That merchant will never be the same again. Because now he's got a pearl that he can never sell. You think of that? He found one pearl of great price, but he'll never sell it. He can't. It cost him too much. He'll live the rest of his days just for what that cost him. He'll be poor from that day forward because of what that cost him. Joe will never look at things the same again. All of a sudden, the things of time and sense mean nothing to Joe. He's not going to take that money now and go blow it on all the fancy stuff. No, no. He gave all that. He had that life at one time. He spent all that. Now he's got something that's worth everything. So did William Tyndale live and work and die in vain? Or do you treasure this book? Will you seek to find stuff? The hidden treasure of this book? It's there. It'll change you. It'll change your life forever. And it'll cost you. It'll cost you dearly. But you'll be laying up treasure in heaven, where no one breaks in to steal, moth doesn't corrupt it, and rust doesn't enter. Seek. That's what the Lord Jesus said. Seek, and ye shall find. Ask, and it shall be given to you.